Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. It's the 31st chapter, verses 27 through 34. Let us open our ears and our hearts that we hear the word of God this morning. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of, whoops, I'm starting at the very beginning, I don't need to. Da-da-da-da-da. Like I said, everything is moved. Here we go. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, but they shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they each teach one another, or to say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more. The second reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always, to pray always, and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word.
Hi. Good morning. My name is Mia. You all know me. So I'm going to talk about some of my my experiences in DC and how it kind of shaped me. So when I left for DC, I was a little bit scared that nobody would want to talk to me for some reason or another. Maybe I didn't know enough German, or because I was raised differently or something like that. On the plane there, I had imagined all these different scenarios for how the trip would go. I was planning for what I would do if I was ignored by everybody. But the one thing I didn't plan for was the kindness and grace that I would be shown by the people there. I didn't expect to be welcomed like I had never been before. I was a little bit stunned, to be honest. The first night was a little awkward. Granted, most everybody were strangers and had just met. or had maybe spent a 9-hour flight getting to know each other. But from that time forward, I felt probably the most comfortable I had been with a group of people in a while. And in this group of complete strangers, I was able to find common ground. And I think the setting did quite a lot to facilitate this connection, being in DC and all. A hub of history and culture and politics. I was a little shocked about some things. When we visited the African American History Museum, for example, they had a display about the Tulsa Massacre. And I was walking around reading and listening, and they had photos and like audio, like testimonies from the people that witnessed it and were there that day. And I couldn't help it. I started crying. It was really sad. It struck me, you know. And one of the boys on the trip, Julius, he was wandering around, like looking around at all the displays, and he found me standing, which, I mean, probably a pretty pathetic sight. He found me standing alone in that room, bawling my eyes out. And he was so sweet. He asked me, like, what was wrong? And I was like, I didn't know what to say. And I just, like, gestured vaguely to everything in the room. It was impactful to me. And so he started walking around, reading and listening and looking at the photos. And he started crying, too. But, like, it occurred to me, he had never heard of any of this. He had no idea this had happened. And we talked about it for a while, and it was interesting to me that part of American history he had never been exposed to. And so we were both like bawling our eyes out by the time we left that exhibit, and we could not take each other seriously because both of us had like red puffy eyes and tears streaming down our cheeks, and we were just laughing at each other for a sec. But that memory, that connection that I made with him stayed with me for the rest of the trip. And I had similar interactions with many of the people in that group, and I think that was very special. Like this connection, like it was the most unexpected way that I communicated with the people in that group was through music. Every day we would sing in both English and German. My German was pretty bad. They did have to help me in a lot of pronunciation, but we got there. We got there eventually. But besides even the devotionals, like we would do every day in the morning and in the evening, and the singing that we would do then, we came in contact with music so much during that trip. Like on the ride to the church on the very last day, they were listening to this playlist that they had made for the plane, and I thought it was so funny. They were like, all right, we gotta get all the American songs that are really good, and we gotta put them on a playlist. So I was listening to Luke Bryan's Country Girls Shake It to Me for me on the car, along with, what was the other one that stuck out? It was Party in the USA. We were listening to Party in the USA on the car, and I was like, all right. But we, like, on the first, no, the second night we were there, when we were walking home from the Hard Rock Cafe, we came across the Navy Band, and they were playing in a corner, and it was magical. Like, from down the street, about two blocks away, we could hear the music faintly. And we were like, what is happening? What's going on? Is there, like, live music somewhere? And we come across this whole group. It's even being, like, broadcast, like, on television. And it was amazing. The woman had the most beautiful voice I had ever heard. And all of us were dancing together, and we were singing along, and it was amazing. And even as we walked away, as we kept walking back home, we were all listening. We were just fascinated by the talent of this woman and the band itself. We also, when we were at the Lincoln Memorial, there was a group of, like it was a church group that were singing songs right by the reflecting pond. And so they invited us to come sing with them, and we sang Amazing Grace with them. We thought it was just going to be the first verse. They knew all the verses, and we did not. They gave us like 2 sheets of paper, so all like 13 of us were crowded around 2 sheets trying to figure out what the next verses were, and we're like passing it around. People can't see. Elbows are everywhere. It was a mess. But my favorite memory regarding music, the most impactful one, was at the beach at Tower Hill. So Tower Hill, first off, was amazing. I loved Tower Hill. And the camp was like right on Lake Michigan. So there was a little trail that we went down for our evening devotional the first day that we were there. And we got to like play on the beach the first day. But so for our evening devotional, we sat around like a fire, and we did our regular stuff. We said we did prayers. We talked about some stuff, like what we did that day, and we sang. And somebody had brought their guitar, and it was so neat because like a couple people knew how to play, But by the end of the devotional, I was like, you know, this is really nice. I'm gonna like stay for a little bit. And these 2 members of the group, Henrika and Johannes, they were staying behind, and Johannes was playing the guitar and Henrika was singing. And they both really liked Bob Dylan. So we ended up singing Bob Dylan songs together, and it was just like the setting sun, and the music, and the way we both knew the words by heart was just it, like the connection of that moment was just like so impactful for me, and it made me realize just how like similar people are. Like across an ocean, you can be a Bob Dylan fan, you can like follow the same faith. And it impacted me. I thought it was really cool. While we were in DC, we went to the UCC office, which was honestly one of my favorite memories there, one of the highlights of the trip, and meeting the people there was really cool. They were amazing people. And the office was literally right outside the White House. It was like across the street, and it was really cool. They had this beautiful garden of flowers outside, and they had a sign there that said, stand up for democracy, not dictatorship. And I thought that was a pretty nice sentiment. So they gave us all like a presentation about the advocacy work that they do at the office. And it like, they did like so much work. They did so much good for the community there. And it really gave me hope and made me believe that I truly can do good in the world. It helped me see that despite being just one person, I can do the things that I've been called to do for my community. And that was really special. I was like warned before I went to DC. They were like, all right, it's gonna be a little dangerous there. You should like watch out, like keep people with you. But the only time that I was truly scared on that trip was when we were walking home from Chinatown. We went to visit Chinatown. It was very cool. But the route back took us by the big train station there. And I was really excited when I heard that because I love trains. But when we got there, my heart kind of sank because the entire front of the building was being patrolled by the National Guard. There are at least 12 tanks and men with guns everywhere. And I was terrified. Something in me just broke because through that trip, a lot of the people had been concerned about the militarization in DC. They had like heard on the news and like from different sources, and they like asked me what I thought about it, but I was so disconnected from where I am in Michigan that I didn't really think about it all that much. But it scared me. Like Two of the girls in my group actually went to talk to the protesters. There was a big tent of protesters. But I was too scared. I was rooted in one spot. And I told the girls that stayed with me there, and they were scared too. Because they had noticed, like, the changes. Like, I've noticed changes here. You know, I've been told about all this great progress that we've been making as a nation, and seeing that just dismantled has like broken my spirit a little bit. And it turns out something similar had been going on there, and I had no idea. And we were both scared. We're scared for our futures. Because we want to live, like, in a world where we're safe, in a world where everybody is equal. But it seems impossible sometimes. Sometimes it makes me want to leave. And I love this place. Despite everything, I love it here. I love the people, the land, the nature, the culture. I don't want to give up on this place. Because I think this place is worth fighting for. And so did they. They felt the same way about their country. And it made me realize that I should fight. I should do what I can to make this place a place that I want to live in, a place that I want to raise my children in. So, being at the UCC office and seeing the advocacy work they were doing, it brought me up. It empowered me. I felt like I could do anything. It felt like I could change the world. So this trip was so impactful in the way that I see my faith. Speaking honestly, I decided to get confirmed here, not entirely knowing what my faith meant to me. But I know now, my faith is about standing up for those who have no power, those who are being taken from their homes and lives, and those who are being denied the right to exist. And I know now my faith should be used to advocate. My voice should be used to speak for those who are being silenced. And I won't be afraid anymore. I won't stay there on the other side of the street. Because I am scared. Because I have friends, I have family, and I have my God on my side. I went to DC afraid that I would not have a place at the table. And I left Tower Hill with the courage to fight for one.